This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad brag. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
That, of course, is Lou Gehrig on the 4th of July in 1939 at Yankee Stadium. He was saying farewell to his fans. He added, "I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for." Gehrig was diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known now as Lou Gehrig's disease. With me is Dr. Howard Markel. He's a University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor. You write, "Researchers today are wondering if Lou Gehrig really had ALS."
Yeah, that's the great irony. What if Lou Gehrig did not have Lou Gehrig's disease?
Let's start with the original diagnosis. Why did the doctors at the time think Gehrig had ALS?
Well, he certainly had what's called motor neuron disease, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is very difficult to diagnose. You have to remember this is the late 1930s, so they don't have CAT scans or MRIs or any number of tests that we would use today. And so they gave it their best diagnosis, and it seemed to match the symptoms of ALS.
The doctor said he had a 50-50 chance of recovery. Why would they tell him that?
Well, you know, medical ethics were very different back then, and many doctors would not even tell a patient with a terminal diagnosis that he had a terminal diagnosis. They might tell a relative, like a spouse or a parent. And frequently to buck the guy up, they would say, you know, you could really try to do this. And in fact, one of the last things Gehrig ever said before he lost the ability to speak, he mouthed the words to his wife, "I got a 50-50 chance."
Mm. So why are researchers now questioning whether Lou Gehrig had Lou Gehrig's disease?
Well, this is truly fascinating. A group of neurologists and pathologists at the Boston University, this is the group that has been examining the brains of former NFL players and looking at what does frequent hitting of your head do to your brain and to your health. Well, the short answer is not good stuff. But what they found is that many people with repetitive serious head injuries did indeed develop an ALS-like syndrome, but it was really from the trauma itself.
So did Gehrig get beamed by the baseball that often, or
Oh my, yes. I mean, he had balls thrown at his head numerous times. He also had grounders pop up in his face. My favorite head injury was he got into a fight with Ty Cobb.
Oh, from the Tigers,
after a Tiger game, and his head hit the concrete and he lost consciousness. In fact, he hit his head so many times, he lost consciousness on a number of occasions, but because he was the Iron Horse, he never took a day off. And they didn't wear helmets back then, by the way. The only protection was that wool cap they wore.
Is there any way to actually confirm whether Lou Gehrig was incapacitated by brain trauma instead of ALS?
Well, that would be difficult to do. His remains were cremated, and we don't know if an autopsy was done because the Mayo Clinic, where he went for his care, has appropriately sealed his records as out of privacy to Lou Gehrig. You would really need to look at brain tissue. As my old pathology professor at Michigan used to say, show me the slides, show me the tissue. So it's speculative, but there is a good chance that those head injuries caused him a lot of problems in the end.
So what's the lesson to be learned about Lou Gehrig and this possible head trauma issue?
Well, ALS is still a major killer, and I urge everyone to donate to medical research. But if indeed it was head trauma and you're a parent or a loved one of an athlete, make sure they wear proper headgear and prevent this problem from ever occurring. That would be a great birthday present for Lou Gehrig.
Dr. Howard Markel is medical historian for the University of Michigan and a PBS NewsHour contributor. Thanks for telling us about this.
Thank you.